yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Lift up your hands, everybody. Stand on your feet as much as possible. It's a serious moment. I want you to pray for me and pray with me right now that God will give me utterance and an instructed tongue that I might speak as the oracle of God. That I will speak as I ought to speak, addressing issues that are unresolved. To bring solution, break yokes, destroy chains. Let burdens be lifted. Let bondages be broken. Let embargoes be destroyed. Say something. Put your hands together if you can and pray. In the name of Jesus. Somebody pray. Mukada Hasaya. Kaliba Kadabogo Sede Bahaya. Mayanda Balagadabuzanda. Ketele Krebobo Kusada Lahaya. Eketele Bobo Kutelea. Sada Bahaya Kabaha. Hey! Hey! Ekula Makadila Basaya. We arrest the wickedness in town. We curse the evil in town. The wickedness in the city. The evil in the city. Let it be arrested. Empower your servant. In the name of Jesus. Now, I had a strange vision early this morning, between 3 and 4 this morning, and I saw assassins. They were dressed like ninjas with axes and all kinds of swords and knives. And they came to where I was. I want us to interrupt the spirit of assassination and hired assassins and organize armed robberies and assassins. And I want us to pray that our name will be removed from the hit list of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, let's call for divine interventions. Let's engage the hand of the Lord. Let's deploy the forces of heaven. Put your hands together, open your mouth, pray right now. Hey. 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 Lokasaha. Sila kubahatalia. Sadali kadaba. Delay kiban. Dulaki ikabahasi. We bind the spirit of assassination. We bind organized armed robbery. Let the syndicate be broken in the name of Jesus. We break the syndicate of evil. Hear me. One more prayer. Let's expose and uncover the syndicate. There's a syndicate of evil. There are forces behind the scenes, masterminds. Whatever is behind this evil going on, of violence and assault against women, and this rape thing, the way it's going, it's caring. And it has to be discontinued. It has to be terminated. In the name of Jesus. Let the syndicate be uncovered. Let the syndicate be exposed. Let the syndicate be broken. Put your hands together, pray that women will be safe and secure, that there will be safety in town, peace in the city. Somebody, open your mouth, pray. Syndicate. Expose the syndicate. Call for divine intervention. The hand of the Lord. Special angelic forces. interrupt, overturn, override, overthrow, mischief, conspiracy, violence in the city, in the name of Jesus. The fear of the night, the terror by night, arrest, intercept, interrupt, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lift up both hands. Heavenly Father, look upon us mercifully this morning. Let your heart be moved with mercy and compassion, love and forgiveness towards us as your children, as your people, and as a nation. Remember Ghana one more time. God, you've been good to us over the generations and the years. Show us mercy one more time. Show your church mercy one more time. Show your servant mercy one more time. Show the women of this nation mercy one more time. The children mercy one more time. The fathers mercy one more time, Lord. And let the violence against women cease. Let the killing cease. Let the rape cease. Let there be safety within our walls. Safety in the dwellings of your people. In the name of Jesus, turn away wrath. In wrath, remember mercy. Holy Spirit of God, have your way. And let the word of the Lord have a free course like never before, I pray. In Jesus' name, put your hands together. Shout, welcome somebody, hug somebody before you are seated. Please welcome somebody, love on somebody before you are seated. Don't be selfish. Go out of your way, just love on somebody, hug somebody, welcome somebody before you are seated. God bless you. Good to have you in church today. I want to deal with some few issues that will continue by God's grace on Wednesday to look at it in its entirety. We need to have a pre-understanding of the word coming forth. I'm talking about exemption from judgment and exemption from consequence of action, or the consequences of our actions. Exemption. Exemption prevents something that should happen to you. And as I said, many a times we give thanks for what God has done and for what he's doing, but we forget to thank him for what he has prevented. I was talking about years ago, I was with some group of sons of mine, and we're talking and we were laughing. And in the mix of the laughter, I went off for a few seconds. I went off. And they could see that I've left. And they started praying and commanding and say, Papa, come back! Papa, in the name of Jesus, come back! And after a while, I came back. And they said, Papa, you scared me. You scared us. And God prevented something. There are people who shouldn't be here this morning. According to demonic oracles and programmings and predictions and verdicts, that your address was supposed to be among the dwellings of the dead. But mercy prevented it. And you are here this morning. If I were you, I would thank God for mercy. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me, somebody? You didn't hear what I said. That's why you are sitting down. That's why you are not clapping. That's why you are not shouting. Sit down for 2 minutes. If we know the value of mercy, if we understand the value of mercy, our attitude will change, because God has made provision for mercy for 365 days. I want to talk about mercy. A mercy simply means exemption from judgment. Hey, what can we do without mercy? For the Bible said, if the Lord shall count iniquity, who shall stand? Tell somebody, I know you are righteous. But there is no saint. I know you are righteous, but you are not a saint. You are not an angel. We will know who is a true saint when Jesus comes. So stop pretending. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say, I hear you. Psalm 102 verse 13. Psalm 102 verse 13.
Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come.
Again.
Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come.
This is the prophet speaking prophetically that the Kairos moment, when eternity brings time into alignment for the judicial determinations and the executive decisions of heaven to be executed. When everything points to the fact that it is your time, tell somebody it's your time, it's your time. It's not just your time, it is your Kairos moment. Because there's a difference between when it is your time and when it is your moment. Most times when you have an appointment with doctors, they tell you appointment 10 o'clock with the doctor. By 10, you are there. And at 10:15, 10:20, you still haven't seen the doctor, but the appointment was 10 o'clock. You fill a form, you sit and wait. They send the form to the doctor. After about 30 minutes, the doctor is ready to see you. The appointment time was 10 o'clock. But when you see the doctor, it's the Kairos time. When you are traveling, most times they say, oh, the flight takes off at 12 noon. At 12 noon, the gate is shut. The aircraft is still on the tarmac, waiting for other flight to take off before you. Appointed time of takeoff, 12. When there's no aircraft before you, it ceases to be your time and it becomes your turn. It's your turn. But the Bible said, even when it's your turn and it's your appointed time, like a woman takes seed, she's pregnant, she's in a season, on the 40th week, she's in due season. Even at due season, you need mercy for delivery. Because you could lose your life or the life of the child. Even at your appointed time, you can die or lose the miracle. And the Bible said God will arise to settle your account with the enemy, and the accuser is to show you mercy. Because without mercy, nobody is qualified for favor. So God said, I am a just God. When I come on the scene, before I look and I see errors and mistakes and transgressions and iniquity, the first thing I will do, because it's time to show you favor, the first thing I will do is to hold up the card of mercy and pardon and say, exemption, Satan, keep quiet, silence everything, because if the Lord shall count iniquity, see iniquity, look for iniquity, nobody shall stand. So when he comes on the scene to favor us, the first thing he does is to announce mercy. To say, there's a possibility that you may not be qualified for favor. There's a possibility that you missed it. There's a possibility that you've stumbled. There's a possibility that there might be a transgression, sin, or iniquity. So God said, the first thing I will do, because I'm your father, and my seat or my throne is a mercy seat. I sit on the seat of mercy. The first thing I will do is to proclaim mercy for exemption. Because if I don't declare mercy, I will see something that would disqualify you, and I have to hold back my favor. So the first step is mercy before favor. Can somebody praise God for mercy? Oh, I don't hear you. I'm not feeling you at all. Mercy. Somebody scream, mercy. Ah, mercy. Mercy qualifies the sinner. Mercy qualifies the transgressor. Mercy gives you many chances. That's why Paul said, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Not mercy, not singular, plural. By the mercies of God that you present your body. That you present your body. Mercy.
First Kings 3 and 6. First Kings chapter 3 verse 6.
And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day.
You know, Solomon was born out of wedlock. Solomon was not supposed to be king. He was born out of wedlock. God condemned the affair between David and Bathsheba, killed the firstborn, and Solomon wasn't supposed to make it. And by some special mercies, Solomon qualified. And when he sat on the throne, took stock of the 40 years of David's reign, and saw the ups, the down, the betrayals, the difficulties, the many assassination attempts on the father's life, and how he survived all things for 40 years. When he had all the security briefing and everything in taking over the throne, and he sat on the throne, he came to one conclusion, that if my father walked in righteousness or in truth or did anything right, it was only because God showed him an act of his great mercy. He didn't just say mercy, he said great. Come on, somebody say great mercy, great mercy. And Solomon concluded that the only reason why David made it was not because of any righteousness of his own, but it was because God showed him great mercy. That my father only qualified to reign for 40 years and make it all these years because of the mercy of Adonai. This morning, may you obtain mercy. May you and your family find mercy. May God show you and your house, this house and your house and this nation. You know what? I know some of you, you never miss it before, so you don't need mercy. I know your thoughts are pure 24/7. And I know you never bear grudges and you are never angry and you are always pure, but I struggle sometimes. I struggle every now and then with my thoughts and my emotions, my feelings. I struggle with some things. So I need mercy every day. I need exemption from judgment. Come on, somebody, are you hearing me? I need God to prevent some things from happening as a result of my personal errors and mistakes. I need God to prevent the consequence of my actions by showing me mercy on a daily basis. Somebody put your hands together and thank God for mercy. Solomon said, Thou, O Lord, have shown my father David great mercies, that you kept him alive till you made me king. David was one of the only kings who God kept alive to appoint and ordain his successor before he died. He didn't depart for there to be some confusion. He sat in office who he wanted to be in office before he passed. And Solomon concluded that, you know something? This old man only made it and survived because of the act of God's mercies. You know why I always talk about my past and where I've come from? Is to remind me and remind myself that, you know something, preacher? You can't forget where you came from. And I've been to some great places. I've been to some places. Some places when I go outside Ghana, I have more honor, more security than even my own country. I enjoy some presidential privileges, red carpets. But you see, the problem why some of these things I don't share and talk about, Ghanaians have these tolerance for mediocrity and poverty. And when you even dress nice, they say, who does he think he is? And we rather prefer to take our wealth and display it outside than in Ghana. I know a lot of Ghanaians outside that I know them. And I see the invite. A Ghanaian invited me to his house in Singapore some years ago. And he said, Papa, you and Kwabena Daku are the only Ghanaians among all the Ghanaians I know that I've allowed to come to my house. And I said, why? He said, Papa, I'll be honest with you. If some of these, my brothers, some of these Ghanaians I know in Singapore, Malaysia, Hong Kong, the Philippines, come to see my house and what God has blessed me with, I'll lose my job. I'll lose my job. We have self-hatred. It is among some Africans, but not all Africans. Among Nigerians, they don't have patience for mediocrity and tolerance for poverty. They love celebrating. When even a Nigerian doesn't have, he makes sure. He will make sure. Oga kwata 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 kwata. Royal first class chief, even when he's broke. But the Ghanaian, even when he's blessed, he's hiding it. Because it's a society that does not celebrate success. We kill success. Foreigners can come into this country and they can ride a private jet on the motorway and it's accepted. Nobody will attack them. Nobody will fight them. But let a Ghanaian try. Unless your father is one of the old money people who have been through everything and have kept his wealth. But even the old money, you don't see the second generation of the old money, except just one or two families. Most of the old money people, when they die, their riches die with them. There's a vicious cycle, and we'll address it as time goes on. And until we understand what we are dealing with in its entirety and attack it from the roots and stop dealing with it from the branches, we will never create wealth in this country. We are not creating wealth as a people. We destroy wealth every 4 years and every 8 years. And it's not just Ghana. You watch Sierra Leone, Liberia, Nigeria, La Côte d'Ivoire. Similar incidents there, because I have churches there, I have networks all over this place, and I deal with businessmen and women and politicians in all these places. Anytime there is a new regime, the new regime comes and will destroy anyone that was connected to the old regime and benefited from the old regime. They will destroy all their wealth. Forgetting that you will be in office only for 4 years or maximum 8 years. And then another regime comes and will destroy everyone that benefited from the old regime. So every 4 to 8 years, we kill and destroy those who have created wealth. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't deal with corruption and we shouldn't deal with wrong people and we shouldn't pursue people who are wrong. But I'm saying that we should check our motives, because if we begin with the motive that somebody is guilty from the beginning, and we have to bring them down because they were connected to the regime before us, we will always find something. And even if we don't find something, we will find a way to still bring them down. So it's the motive and the mindset that we have to check. When people are wrong, even God in heaven, even though his seat is mercy, and he sits on the mercy seat, when Satan misbehaves, he casts him down. So I'm not saying when people do wrong, don't deal with them. But I'm saying we should check our hearts. We should check our motives. The reason for going after people, not just Ghana, all over these African countries. I was in an African country recently, and a lady that was very powerful in that country, in prison, in house arrest, sent somebody and said, I need to talk to the Archbishop. And somebody said, you can't talk to her because they'll be listening to your conversation. And I said, I am a servant of God. I am an ambassador of God. And I'll talk to anybody who wants to talk to me and needs prayer. I am not subject to the laws of anybody when it comes to dealing with people. So even though their government may have issues with her, I have no issues with her. So they gave me the phone and I talked to her. And she said, I knew, even though it's controversial and difficult, that you will talk to me. And I talked to her and I encouraged her and I prayed for her. And you know why I did that? When she was powerful in that country, and I used to visit that country, she was kind to me. And I never wanted her to feel like because she's no more powerful like before, I'm rejecting her. Are you hearing me, somebody? It's very, very important we check our motive as a people. Because for whatever reason, we are not creating wealth. We are not creating wealth. We are destroying wealth as a nation. The Arab uprising is something that is in the pipeline and is coming to West Africa. It's between the next 5 to 10 years. It will come to West Africa. Write it down. And I'm not saying I'm a prophet. No, I'm talking as a student of history, prophecy, and paradigms. Let me give you some information. Bishop, come with me. I want you to read through some of the points I gave you. I want you to look at something. About how many students a year register to go to school in this country? How many graduate every year from our university, technical school, and all the vocational schools? And the percentage that gets a job, and the percentage that is left without a job. Because this armed robbery thing, man, it doesn't matter the perspective and what everybody is saying. We have to look at it holistically. And we have to find permanent solutions long term to address this issue so that there will be peace in this country. Because if we don't address the challenges we have and other nations adding up to their problems, bringing their problems to us and adding up to what we have, we will make the job very complicated for our police, our army, and our security forces from solving it. Come with me. Hear this.
Our educational system is currently like a pyramid. 600,000 children start primary school.
600,000 start primary school.
380,000 do not make it to secondary school.
380,000 don't make it to secondary school.
Then we have 220,000 dropouts or people who are unable to make it to our secondary school.
20,000 drops out, don't make it secondary school.
And of this number that starts secondary school, only 130,000 make it to tertiary level.
Only 130,000 go to the university.
That is to the polytechnics, nursing, universities, training colleges, agri colleges, and the universities. And
all put together.
Both private and public.
130,000. Go ahead.
Of this number, only 6% of tertiary graduates get employed in the first year of graduation.
Every year, we produce 130,000 graduates.
And only 6%.
And only 6%.
Get a job in the first year.
Get a job in the first year. Ask yourself, what happened to the rest? And we keep producing them every year. Go ahead.
The size of the entire public and civil service in Ghana is about 500,000.
So the government can only employ workforce 500,000, not more than that. Even that, they said there are some ghost names. Go ahead.
Assuming only 10 million Ghanaians are willing and able to work, that means only 5% can be absorbed by the public or civil service.
So 20% may be children and maybe old grandfathers and grandmothers. Put it that way. Go ahead.
So only 5% can get into civil service. The private sector must therefore provide employment for 95% of the workforce, meaning people who are the age to work. And every year, we produce only 250,000 SSS certificate holders and 130 tertiary certificate holders. So where are the rest of the people? And what are they doing if they cannot get a job and they cannot continue education? Food for thought.
We have a very serious situation here, and we have to look at it long term. The private sector is not creating wealth because, for whatever reason, we are destroying the private sector through this vicious cycle. If you go to the bank to take a loan, you pay 30% interest. So it's difficult to go take a loan to create wealth because of the interest. You can't pay anything. For whatever reason, the private sector in other countries are helping to develop the country. Somebody was telling me that 90,000 people wrote for employment to Ghana immigration, and only 500 people, 500 among the 90,000, had a job. They rejected the rest. Somebody was telling me that the police, they had about 140,000 people applying for a job. The police could only take 4,000. These are issues we are not addressing on. So I've been very worried about this armed robbery situation and the rape of women. It's really bothering me because it's happening every weekend and it's worrisome. Apart from our own problems, we have people coming from other nations because Ghana is a peaceful place, and they come with their baggages and their problems. How are we going to address some of these issues? It's time to cry for mercy. It's time to pray for mercy, because too much is at stake. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we shouldn't check corruption. But if we come to office and to power, which I've been preaching for 40 years in this country, and I've seen governments come and go, from CPP, my father's government, which they are here, and NDC and MPP, they are here. I've seen them over the years, over the 40 years. And this thing where we come into office with vindictiveness and bitterness because of the way we've been mishandled and mistreated, and we target people to go after them, settle scores. I pray that during the reign of Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo, because of the fight and the betrayals and the suffering and the pain he went through to become president, that he will not allow his presidency to be used by people who have problems with others and their opponents to settle scores. But that, during his watch and his reign, that cycle, that vicious cycle, will be broken in the name of Jesus. That every Ghanaian, irrespective of your political party, if you are doing the right thing, you will prosper. If you look at the West and you look at America, Trump has come into office. The people in Trump party are going to have the biggest share of the cake. But Obama's people, Obama's party people, for whatever reason, will still be in business. They won't kill them, but they won't get the big share of the pie like they used to. But they will not be killed. Their wives and children will not be starved. So they'll still be relevant, and they'll still be there until it's their turn, and they also go for the bigger share of the cake. But they won't destroy them. But in Africa it's not so. In Africa, we destroy, we bankrupt, we starve them, we wipe them out. So every 4 to 8 years, we kill everyone who have created wealth. And then new people come and they create new wealth. And another 4 to 8 years, another group comes and wipe them all out. So we are not creating wealth. We are destroying one another. That vicious cycle must be broken. Turn to somebody and say, why are you not clapping? Are you a suspect? Let's go on. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, 16.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Somebody say mercy. Mercy. You see, this is the time of need. How many of you agree with me that we are living in times of great need? In the life and history of humanity, nations, unrest in the Middle East, fears, wars, rumors of wars between America and China and Russia, unrest, fears. These are days of great needs. And the Bible said, in the times of great needs, we are summoned by God to come boldly before the throne to obtain mercy. Mercy. Mercy to settle the account. Mercy to overwrite the consequence of our action. To overturn judgment. I don't know about you, but I need mercy. Whether you respond or not, I say I need mercy. Tell somebody, I don't know about you, but I need mercy. I need mercy. I need mercy. Tell somebody, I need. Come on, talk. Say it with some passion. Say, I need mercy. Exemption from judgment. Mercy. Oh, that God will show us mercy. That God will cause us to be people who show mercy. You know, I've taken some people to Europe and America, and one time I took a group of folks to a restaurant, and everybody was looking at our table. And I didn't know why they were all looking at us. So I decided to find out what was going on. And I looked at my table, all the plates were full with breakfast, lunch, dinner, starter, main course, and dessert. One plate. So I turned to one of the guys and said, well, if I had an argument, I said, why are you doing this to me? Why? He said, Papa, you don't need a day. The food's sweet. And I said, but the food is not going to disappear. It's not going anywhere, so take your time. I thought after my counseling, the second round would be better. Second round, they did it again. So the management came and said, please, you have to leave. Go. And I said, you people, you are not going anywhere to eat with me again. You see, that day, I decided that these people, they didn't deserve mercy. I know some of you say, where was mercy? I just said, mm-mm. And I went with some guy, myself and Rosa, somewhere in Reston, it was an Indian restaurant. And one of my sons said to me, I said, Papa, what is this? So I turned and I looked at one of the brothers' plate. And I said, Lord God, have mercy. What is this? Who art thou, O mountain? Thou shalt become a plain. Before few minutes, the mountain was level. But his stomach was flat. Like he just finished a 40 days fast. And he went a second. I didn't say anything. From that time, I tell him, you can order Chinese, they'll deliver. I'm going out alone with my wife. You are not following me. Mandingos from the jungles. And the reason why most times I talk about my past is just to remind me of where I've come from. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday in Awusa, and he was shocked. He said, you speak Awusa? He couldn't believe it. And he couldn't believe it. And I said, what is wrong with the language? There are very blessed, wealthy Awusas. So what's the problem? I live in the north, in a place called Wapami. And I used to hang with friends in the place called Dondoli and Jejereiri. And I am not ashamed to talk about my past. Because when I look at my father and my mother's children, I have 43 brothers and sisters. And I'm standing where I'm standing today, not because I'm smart, not because I'm better than them, not because I know something they don't know, but it's because God showed me mercy. And I am who I am by the act of mercy, and mercy only. But for mercy, I am nothing. And I know some of you, you are very sophisticated and you deserve to be blessed. And I know you are smart. You are intelligent because of the school you attended. And I know you are very disciplined and you come from a good background and you are very connected and you went to school outside and you are a student of Harvard, Oxford, Princeton, Yale, or Cambridge. And of the best of school. You went to school with a royal family. And your father was this and your mother was that. My father was not a priest nor a prophet. Neither was my grandfather a priest or a prophet. My grandfather and my father, they serve idols and they call it royalty. And I saw it when I was growing up. With all their backgrounds and their education and who they were, they didn't serve the living God. And God has taken me places that I ever least expected I'll ever go. I've seen honors and I've been addressed in ways and manner that I least expected that I'll ever be addressed. I've worked with dignitaries. I've worked with royalty, rare sheikhs, billionaires, traveled with private jets. That even I had a friend of mine years ago. His name is Sonny Odogu. During the times of not Babangida, the one before him. No, Babangida. Yeah, that was Babangida. One time he was in Abidjan and he called me and said, Archbishop, are you in town? I said, yes. He said, I want to just pass by to have lunch with you. So I had to call Civil Aviation. He arrived here with his plane. And the seat belt of his plane is 24 karat gold. And when he arrived and I went to pick him, the Goro boys at the airport, when they saw me, they looked at me and they said, man, who is this guy? And one of them was coming to shake me and some of the security guy was blocking him. And I said, leave him alone. I said, leave him alone. I used to be here with him. I used to be here before. And they looked at me and said, you? And I said, yes. Yes. I used to do Goro here before. But mercy made me a change, a game changer. Mercy bestowed honor on me. So leave me alone. And I put my hands in my pocket. And I gave him some money. And he looked at me and said, Nikki, my man. And he broke my heart. Because I looked at him. And I used to remember that day, those days. God helped me and God helped me. The day I looked down on anybody. And the day I despise anybody. Or dishonor or disrespect anybody. Because of position, nothing is forever. Everything has an expiry date. That's why I learned to show mercy. Somebody put your hands together and shout mercy, mercy. Somebody say mercy. Nobody deserves anything. Nobody. When I said the other day that women who are married should see it as a privilege and not a right, some women got offended. I wasn't insulting the women who are not married. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that, according to scripture, I'll read it to you. He said, 7 women will seek for a man. 1 man, 7 to 1. And we are in those days, 7 to 1. And let's be real. Let's stop being hypocrites. You know, when that young lady talked about sleeping with marriage men and all that, you know, I don't know exactly what she said. You know, I'm told that some people said she said all Ghanaian women, okay? And some people said she said hair, whatever it was. But I think that we should go easy, you know? Sometimes when people speak truth, you know, even when they are wrong, we should go easy and not crucify them, you know? We shouldn't be a society, okay, that is always attacking things. What is wrong is wrong. Even correcting wrong, we must manage it with a lot of grace. you know, and not crucify people all the time. I don't know exactly what she said, so I'm not defending her. I don't know her, okay? But, yeah, I think it's on the screen. Yeah,
read. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach.
You see, so I'm saying that if it is 7-1 and you get one, see it as a privilege. I'm not saying that women should be mishandled or disrespected by men. No? And I'm not saying women don't have rights. But I'm saying that when you have been privileged and you are married, especially you have a good man, handle it well. Don't misbehave. Don't mishandle and mistreat the maids and the drivers and everything. And don't see yourself as a madam and start disrespecting the man and misbehaving in the name of Christianity. Don't do that. That's all I'm saying. Because I've met a lot of women with six figures doing very well. And the only need they have in life is to have a man in their lives. That is it. To have a man to love them. So if you have one, be grateful. That's all I'm saying. Have an attitude of gratitude. Don't be arrogant. Because there are seven women out there who want what you have. It's not that simple. And I think people must allow truth to be spoken. Because it looks like we are creating a society in this country where you can't address truth anymore. You have to be very careful because it's like a landmine. You say any small thing and the reaction that will come at you, you have to stand down and back up from speaking truth. So everybody is keeping quiet because everybody is worried and afraid of reaction and what will be said and the misrepresentation and the lies that will be spread and the speculation that will go around. And I'm warning those of you hearing me online, especially those of you in the media, be careful. The Lord will judge between you and I if you misrepresent me. We must not be a people and a society that are afraid of power. We have to have the freedom and the liberty if we believe in the things said and enshrined in our constitution, that freedom of speech is the right of every citizen. Then you are entitled to your opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion, and I must not come under fire because I speak my opinion. Neither should you come under fire. We must treat each other equal as a people and a society. Let me leave that one alone. Let me move on quickly. All right. My time is up. On Wednesday, we'll go deep to look at some things, explain it better. But let's just read through some few scriptures. I'll continue on Wednesday. Ezekiel 39 and 25.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel and will be jealous for mine holy name.
Even when it comes to the turning of our captivity, it's an act of mercy. When the Bible said, we were like them that dream when the Lord turned our captivity. Even when it comes to the turning of our captivity, it's an act of mercy. It has nothing to do with our righteousness and our good works, because our good works are like a filthy rag before him. So ladies and gentlemen, if God has turned your captivity, be thankful. And let's develop an attitude of gratitude when it comes to the things God has prevented, and give thanks for that. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. If you know the kinds of evil you've been delivered from. You know, recently on CNN, I was watching Southwest Airlines, of an incident that happened. A sad situation, a misfortune, an evil act of the enemy. And as a spiritual man, I can appreciate and understand what has happened. One of the engines of the aircraft was blown away, caught fire. And a woman was sitting in the plane by the window. There was this pressure, and the wind broke through the window, came into the aircraft and pulled the woman out of the aircraft. And the seat belt could not save her. The wind was so strong and life. Cut a long story short, she lost her life and she died in the process. Whatever it was that you must die today and must not live. Somebody said you are programmed to die in the air by misfortune. And some of you, you take off and you land like a bird. And when you land at Kotoka International Airport, you can't even lift up your head and say, you go and you come, and all you are thinking is how to deal with somebody, how to show somebody power, how to go after somebody, how to find something to bring somebody down, how to destroy somebody. What are you and who are you? You want to get a sharp message. You know, I don't know that woman. I don't know her children. I don't know her family. But when I saw her picture and I saw what happened to her, it broke my heart. And I said, no, Lord, that shouldn't be the end of a person. No. 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 That is evil. It's evil. And you go and you come all the time. And you never say thank you. You take it for granted. You think it's the efficiency of the captain of the airline. I'm telling you, folks. You know why that flight didn't go down? Because there might be one or two people on that flight that God showed mercy and prevented what could have happened. And mercy said, no, no, no. Church, let me tell you something. You know, I have problems with arrogant people. I'll be honest with you. And I have problems with vindictive people. And people who don't show kindness and have no mercy and have no compassion. And all they do is to imagine evil and how they will show people and how they will show people where power lies. You know, somebody was talking to one of my members the other day and said to her that, I will show you where power lies. And when she told me, I said, go back and tell him that you will know that power belongs to God. I said, don't let him intimidate you. It doesn't matter where he derives his powers from. Go back and tell him it is written. Once we have heard, twice we have been told that power belongeth to God. Mercy. Mercy. I don't know about you, but like never before, these are days of great needs, and we need mercy. The wickedness in man is too much. People are conspiring 24/7, lying, misrepresentation. When Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible said that the chief priests, they gave money to the soldiers to go and spread a lie that the disciples stole his body and that he didn't rise from the dead. And some of you, God has blessed you and given you money to spread the truth against the lie, and you are sitting on it and holding it back. Jesus is coming. He's coming. He will ask you what you did with what he gave you. Did you use it to spread the truth? Or you didn't? It's coming. Hosea chapter 1 verse 7. Quickly, let's close.
I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen.
You see, God is saying here, not by might, not by power. Be armed. Arm yourself. Arm your security people. Arm them. But let your trust and confidence be in the mercy of God. That God said, by mercy, I will save the house of Judah. On a daily basis, we must invoke the mercy of God. Come with me quickly to Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5. Let's see some.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Even when it comes to our salvation, it's by the act of mercy. There are two kinds of righteousness: imputed righteousness and fulfilled righteousness. Fulfilled righteousness have to do with water baptism and things like when you pray, when you fast, when you give. All that is within fulfilled righteousness. But imputed righteousness is an act of God's mercy. It's only by his mercies that we are still here. God has prevented so many things. You know, one time in Kumasi, a story was told that a madman in the afternoon was carrying a lantern. A lantern. In the afternoon, not in the night. And somebody saw him and said, "Hey, Osimasi, why are you carrying lantern in the afternoon with the sun?" He said, "If you see what I'm seeing, you put on the street lights." If God opens your eyes to see, you see this world, we see this way. Not everything that you see is real. There are forces behind the scenes. When Lady Diana was asked, "What are you afraid of?" She said, "Nothing." And she said, "The only thing I'm afraid of is the man in the gray suit." There are men in the gray suit in every country. I'm telling you. You don't see them, but they are there. They determine who comes and who goes. If you don't consult them, pay allegiance, you stay in the wilderness. There are spiritual men and women in the gray suit. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, let them be stripped of their powers. Let them be stripped of their... Let God be God in the life of his people. Say yes. Yes. Okay. Romans 9:13 to 16. And I'll just read one more scripture. We'll stop here. We'll continue on Wednesday.
As it is written, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy."
Hey! Somebody say, "Father, show me mercy." Say, "Show my house mercy. Show my family mercy. Show my children mercy." Say, "Mercy, Lord. Show this house mercy. Show my nation mercy. 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 Mercy." When nothing works and everything fails, only mercy. Only mercy works. Put your hands together and thank God for it. You know, I will stop. I'll give you one more scripture and stop here. We'll continue on Wednesday looking at mercy from different perspective and when you need mercy and how to deploy mercy. Lamentation 3, 22 to 23. And then one scripture and I'll let you go.
It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed.
It's of his mercy that you are still here. Turn to somebody, tell somebody, "There is something I've been contemplating to tell you for some time now." Tell the person, "You, I've been contemplating to tell you what I'm about to tell you. that I have observed you critically, and I've come to this conclusion that you is only of the mercies of God. That's why you are still here, you. So be nice, be nice, be nice. You know, when I see people like the tree said, people who tread their home, you know, there are people, they tread their home. I don't know how you say it in English.
Bluff.
Either bluff, you know, bluff, but I like the tread than the bluff. You see, the treuhu is more, there's some potency in it than the bluff. The bluff doesn't make justice to the word treuhu. Bluff. It bothers me when I see people who bluff. The church said they are. Hey, take it easy. You know, I saw this minister some time ago. His regime is passed. And I met him somewhere at the airport. And people were greeting him, and the way he was greeting the people, yeah. And I almost said, "Honorable, you will lose your neck." Oh. I almost said it. Then I came to myself and said, "Hey, Archbishop, 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 so I checked myself quickly. Checked myself. I almost said it. I almost stumbled because I couldn't believe it. And I knew him since he was in school. I knew him in his school days and became honorable. And you honor people, you know. Somebody said to me, how come you deal with all these heads of states in all these countries and everything? And I said, because I've learned to honor people. And you will always attract what you honor. And you forfeit what you dishonor. Even if I disagree with you, I've learned to honor people. It's a virtue you must develop. You don't have to like people to respect them. You don't have to like them to honor them. You must always learn to honor and respect people for who they are. Even if you disagree with them, honor them. Because you will attract what you honor. And you forfeit what you dishonor. You don't insult and attack people and expect them to relate to you. Let's finish our scripture.
It is of the Lord's message that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not.
Mm-hmm.
They are new every morning.
Ah.
Great is thy faithfulness.
So 365 days in the year, you need that capsules of mercy. New mercy I see every morning. Every morning, new mercy. So every day you go out and you come out, you lay down and you wake up saved. Thank God for new mercies. Thank God for new mercies. Don't be too confident in your security and in the gadgets and all. We need all those gadgets. We need everything. You know, we need all those things. It's important. But at the end of the day, it's only mercy. I'm telling you. It's only mercy. You know, I live in an area some years ago, and armed robbers came to the area, to the next door. They passed by my house. And because we pray a lot in the night, I was awake at that time. And they were passing by my house to the next house. And one of them said they should come to this house. And the other one said, Berishi, Munte, 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 Berishi. Say, leave him. Let's go. Leave him. You think I was special? You know, a friend of mine was arrested in Nigeria. And he was sent to the place called No Return. You don't come back. And when they put him, they beat him. And they were ready to finish him. Then one of them said, what is your name? And he mentioned his father's name. And that place, they have judges, prosecutors, attorney general, everybody. the prisoner. They set up their own judges, attention and everything. And they beat him and they wash him with toilet. And then when they were ready to finish him, one of them said, "What is your name?" Then he called his father's name. Then the prosecutor said, "My lord, objection, objection, halt. He's the son of our chief armed robber in Ghana." So the guy said, "Are you sure he's your father?" He said, "Yes." He said, "He's the son of our chief armed robber in Ghana. Spare him." So they said, "You want food? What do you want?" And they sent for food. Sheraton restaurant brought him food in the prison and spared him. When he was telling me, I couldn't believe it. God have ways of means to use things to save us. They were ready to finish him. And he said, "What is your name?" And when he mentioned his name, he said, "Objection, my lord. Halt. He's the son of the chief armed robber in Ghana. He's our man. He's one of us. Leave him alone. In the day of trouble, may your enemy see you as one of them. May the Lord use even your enemy to save your life." That's why it's not good to be arrogant. I'm telling you. That's why it's not good to be too proud and to have all the answers and to know it all. Sometimes be a human being small. Because you never know who God will use tomorrow to save your life. They were about to execute him. They would tell him, "Run, run." And they have their own pistols in Nigeria. And they'll kill them. Because they are all dead, they'll finish them all. And the night he was supposed to die, one of them said, "Hey, tonight everybody is gone." And showed him what to do to escape. And he was the only one who lived. Everybody was killed that night. And his father was not an armed robber. But when he mentioned his father's name, the guy said, "Oh, objection. In prison. Objection, my lord. Don't kill him. He's one of us. His father is the chief armed robber. He's part of us. From Ghana, leave him alone." In the day of adversity, may the Lord show you and your children mercy. And may God use anything. Now hear me. I don't care what God uses to deliver me. As long as I'm delivered, I'm thankful. I cannot tell God what he should use to deliver me. That is not my business. How he delivers me is his business. Are you hearing me, somebody? You remember my stowaway? You haven't read my book on my stowaway. When I came out around Morocco, Gibraltar waters, and the captain commanded me to jump into the water, and I could see the sharks and everything. And some of my friends also came out, and I didn't know they were in the boat. When I came out, and the captain said, "Jump before I give instructions for you to be thrown overboard." And I was seeing the sharks, and the lights were far away from where we were. I stood there and I was saying to myself, I wasn't born again at that time. I'm saying, "Hey, Nicholas, what do you want in life? Now look at you, you are finished. Sharks are going to finish you. Your mother, your father, nobody will know what happened to you." And the chief mate came and said, "What is your name?" And I said, "Nicholas." And he said, "What is your name, Nicholas?" And he pulled the captain aside and talked to him. And they started arguing. And the captain was upset and walked off. And the chief mate gave command to lock us up. The name of his son, his only son, who he hadn't seen for years, was Nicholas. What would have happened if my name was Okay, I'll give you one more scripture. I know you are hungry. You got to go home. 2 Timothy 1, 16 and 18. 2 Timothy 1, 16 and 18.
The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy on the day in the of the Lord in that day. He'll find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well.
Listen, that prayer, Paul, the guy did something to Paul. In the time when he was in prison and everyone was ashamed of him. You know, you can be, there was a time in this country, I went through investigation for 2 years. And it was the toughest time of my life. And B and I would park their car in my house because they went and told the authorities at that time that I was a CIA agent because of my connection with America. And they saw me as a security risk. They came after me with everything. And the car will park in my house. When I come out, they'll follow me. If I come to your house, as soon as I leave, they'll come to your house and interview you. Why did he come here? How long have you known him? What does he want? And people were threatened and afraid. And after that, they'll call me and say, Papa, please, don't come to our house again. Some people stopped coming to church. Oh, I went through some difficult times. Heavy rejection. And I walked alone. Then there was an attempt assassination on my life. And the night before, the word of the Lord came and said, tomorrow at 8:30 p.m., they'll come for you for assassination. And described 3 men will come armed in mufti. When they come, arrest. He said, resist the arrest. Bishop Nyaku, them were there. In this country here. But you see, to be a Christian is very difficult. Because one thing you can't do is to bear grudges. And is to be bitter. Because that is not Christianity. If anybody tells you Christianity is easy, it's a lie. David said, if I hid iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. And the reason why I've learned to forgive and walk in mercy, because I need God to hear my prayers. Because that is the only thing we have as believers. So I have to keep my heart tender and pure. And a lot of people didn't want to deal with me. In this country, I will go to people's home, and the watchman will tell you, Master Ide, but he said, make I tell you, no deal. And the same thing happened to a guy in this church. Helped a lot of people in the times of his crisis. He'll come to me with tears in his eyes. And he'll shake his head and say, Papa, pray for me. But for my wife and my children, I don't want to leave anymore. And I say, you'll leave again. Your comeback will be greater than your setback. And you know, one of the things that hurt him the most was the fact that he will go to people who he helped. And they will tell him, the watchman say, will tell him, Master, say, I tell you, you know, day, but today. And there were people in this church who left this church because I took a stand and I said, the man is innocent. And I went to President Jerry and went to President Atamins and I went to Serious Fraud to talk to the people there. And I said, this man is innocent. And he's a scapegoat. Somebody is sacrificing an innocent man who has wife and children. For whatever reason, it took 4 to 5 years for the prosecutor to confess in court that he was giving direction and directive to implicate him and to prosecute him and that the man is innocent after they destroyed everything the man has. In this country, why? Turn to somebody and say, why? Who are we? Where did we come from? What kind of people are we? Stand on your feet.